Hey there, my friend. It's Trisha Carr. Real quick before we head into this episode, I just want to make sure that you know about Modern Mystic Life, a subscription service for spiritual mentoring and education. The monthly subscription is only $11.11 per month. We have regular support and inspiration delivered with the utmost ease right into your text messenger 2 to 4 times per week. You can use your mobile device or your desktop messenger to access the lessons and meditations, a monthly MP3 download of a produced meditation, at least once per month live meditation led by me. There is no account login, and we have a monthly live class workshop. These are usually $35 for non-subscribers, so it is quite a deal. And the community is amazing. This is a way for you to support the Charmed Life podcast and also a way for us to be able to work more closely together. So do check out how you can subscribe in the show notes. I hope to see you there. Hello and welcome to the Charmed Life podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe. And I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. Hello, friend. This is a special episode. It's actually a sneak peek of a podcast that I'm starting, a whole new podcast. Now, Charmed Life's not going anywhere. No, it is not going anywhere. This is a new project, and I'm doing it with a couple of friends of mine, Carson Doherty and Kevin Dutois. They are both hypnotherapists, and Carson is also an intuitive and a channel, and we have a really cool project that we're starting. This is the maiden voyage of it, and so I thought I would share it with you guys. Now, stay tuned, because I don't have the podcast feed for this yet. It is on YouTube, though. It's on my YouTube channel, so you get to see the sneak peeks either here or on YouTube, and I'm also, you know, this is also live streamed, so you can join us. So make sure that you do have yourself subscribed to the newsletter, because that's how you're going to find out when, well, if there's any cool stuff going on, period. But certainly when there are live streams of any of the podcasts, plural now, and that way you can join us. And it's super fun because we interact in the comments. And I just think you're going to love this podcast. It's called Conscious Times. I'm going to leave the rest of it up to the whole episode that we're going to play here. So enjoy. I've got news for you. You are hypnotized every day. And if you don't know when you're being hypnotized, genuinely, I mean this truthfully, you could lose your freedom, your friends, your family, even your health or your life. Today in Conscious Times, we're going to look at a very popular documentary about a twin flame cult, and we're going to break down how hypnosis is used to abuse. Believe it or not, this can happen to anyone. All that, plus we're going to have a look at Taylor Swift's design and our Taylor Swift's human design. And I have with me here Kevin Dutois and Carson Doherty. You guys join me.
Hi.
Hello, Trisha.
So Conscious Times is your source for energy updates and all the news about the consciousness age, aka the age of personal and spiritual sovereignty. And so I'm Trisha Carr, and I have with me the amazing Carson Doherty, and I have Kevin Dutois, and we are going to be talking, getting into these subjects and having the best time. So welcome, you two. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Thank you, Trisha.
We've already been having preliminary conversations back and forth among ourselves. Well, Carson and I are having that like every day, all day. Good. But today we're going to be talking about this popular documentary series. It's on Netflix, and it's called Escaping the Twin Flames Universe. It's a documentary series, and people have been talking about it all over the place. Now, it came out a few months ago at the time that we were actually broadcasting this. We're going to be analyzing what went wrong for the people who were effectively, genuinely abused by this high pressure group. Now, high pressure group is another way to say cult, but it's a less emotionally loaded way to say it. When there's pressure to do and be a certain way in this group. Now, honestly, we can see that that happens in a lot of different kinds of situations, whether they are purportedly spiritual or not. We're going to talk about exactly how hypnosis is used and how anyone really could fall prey to someone who uses hypnosis as an abuser. And the reason that we three are here to talk about it is because we are all hypnotherapists and we're all very spiritual people. We're all spiritual seekers. So I want to get into that. And before we do, I want to say hello to those of you who are here live. Hi, Michelle. And oh, hi, nice to see you, Rocky. And I want to invite you guys who are coming in live to go ahead, post some comments on the chat, in the chat there. Tell us where you're coming, where you're not coming in from, but yeah, watching from. Any thoughts that if you did see this, if you have any thoughts about it. And then, of course, if you have any questions about anything that we're saying. So let's look at what we're talking about here. Escaping Twin Flames. So here's what it is, what you'll find it on Netflix. And the things, hi, Tracy, nice to see you. I'm talking to the people on the chat there. So we it was really interesting, Carson. I remember when I was telling you, oh, did you watch the Twin Flames yet? Twin Flames thing yet? And you're like, well, should I have my husband watch or is he going to be like scared that spiritual stuff is going to like be dangerous? Mm-hmm. Do you remember me saying that?
Mm-hmm. When I first moved to LA, mm-hmm. he was positive I was going to join a spiritual cult. Now he's fine. But
took 8 years. Yeah. But the thing is, it's interesting. And what did do you remember what I said to you? I said, if he worries about that when he sees it, do you remember what I told you? Just no. I said, well, just remind him that dentists have raped people while they've been on gas. Does that mean dentistry is bad? Yep. Right. Because the thing about these tools that we three know about and are taught, hypnosis, and hypnosis is really the blanket category of meditation, of altering your consciousness in any way. Mm-hmm. It all falls under the umbrella of hypnosis. Hypnosis is a very powerful tool, just like, what I said to a doctor once when she asked me if hypnosis was safe, because she asked me if, you know, she asked me what I did, and I said, I'm a hypnotherapist, you know, it's the easiest thing for me to tell her instead of saying spiritual teacher and everything. And she goes, oh, is that safe? And I said, well, let me ask you something,
wow,
doctor. Is it safe to cut people open with knives? Once again, knives are powerful tools in the hand of a healer and a surgeon. Then yes, they're very useful. So let's get into the Twin Flames business, shall we? Now, this features a couple that started this, Jeff and what is her name? I forget.
Shalia. Megan. Is her
her biological name.
I even have a hard time pronouncing her first, her new name. Shalia.
Yeah. And so I also want to frame this in the sense that I actually know people having a twin flame experience who are very grounded. And so if I could put that in, I don't have that experience. And maybe some of us, maybe people who are here don't have that experience. I just want to suggest that even the twin flame paradigm experience that people are having maybe isn't the problem here. Yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's about the way. It's about abusers using powerful tools to abuse. So in this, we have seen that Jeff especially, I mean, Shalia is a part of it, but Jeff is really the one who's forward in this, is using hypnosis to coerce people, to have them give up a lot of their sovereignty to the point where some of these people actually, it's a very touchy situation because they, toward the end of this documentary, people are having transgender, they're transitioning in their gender, and they never had that experience before. They never had that. It was told to them that they needed to do it. They
were right.
And so this, and then in the documentary too, they have a gender studies expert who understands transgender psychology and also says, now I'm worried that people are going to think this is the transgender experience. I thought that was so astute. I had, and of course, I didn't even think, of
I
course
I
did.
That part.
Mm-hmm. It was impressive. Exactly. Yeah. She was, it was good.
So tell me, what are some things that you noticed there about how they were, the different tactics they were using to abuse people and, to actually have them believe things about themselves and the world that just were, at the end of the day, unhealthy and dangerous?
Do you want to start with the way he would speak to them? Do you want to start with mirroring exercise?
Oh my gosh.
The list goes on.
All of it. The mirror exercise, which again, the mirror exercise.
Very similar
It's very similar. Byron Katie, right. So the to explain, Carson, will you explain the mirror exercise that they used?
Yeah. So anytime you're having a problem with someone, I am mad at that. You're supposed to turn it back into yourself. So taking blame for in this version of it, not the Byron Katie one, for anything. And that will break you down. That's like one of that starts you right in there.
Right. And the, because the, what a proper mirror exercise or something along the lines, that's what they called it. And they act, by the way, they act like they invented it.
Yeah.
I love people that do that. A lot of people that have these high pressure groups or cults, they are sourcing really just ancient or somehow established tools. And they claim that they invented them. And so, you know, as with many things, education is always one of the best ways to help us to stay safe. But in a proper function, what this exercise would do is to help us to align with the law of correspondence, which is one of the spiritual laws of the Kabbalah. And a lot of us just know it by the phrase of as above, so below, as within, so without. But it's done with compassion. Mm-hmm. It's done with curiosity. And you know, it's done with your capacity to take responsibility, meaning what can I respond to in this situation? Not blame, as Carson pointed out. He said, well, the reason that's happening is because you are, you know, all the things you're complaining about, you've done this, you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they would just keep pushing people to that. Anytime they were like, I don't like the way, let's for example, I don't feel comfortable with the way Jeff spoke to me in the classroom meeting. Well, that's because you speak to yourself. He would take no responsibility for it.
Could not take any criticism, couldn't take anything and be like, well, that's you. He'd always turn it back on them very aggressively.
And Trisha, coming from a coaching background,
yes,
the when you grow, when there's growth involved, it's when you take accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he really isn't growing. He's still staying in that elementary kind of threshold. He hasn't had a breakthrough. And then he's just throwing it back onto them because he really doesn't know. Mm-hmm. He thinks he knows. He thinks that, but because he thinks doesn't mean he does know. He doesn't have the experience. And sadly, all of these soulmate seeking individuals are crumbling because of the constant bombardment of them to go seek and find, because he's giving them instructions and he's delegating to them. But he really doesn't know. He doesn't.
No. And he isn't doing
it. That's what I found.
He isn't doing it. First of all, no. You can't, a coach, a teacher, a healer, there is a certain, you know, their sweet spot is sort of relative to their own personal development and inquiry, but it's not limited to it. It's truly not, especially when we're using tools such as these, you know, these tools that really, if for a lack of a better way to say it, or maybe it's the perfect way to say it, these tools belong to God, you know, transformational tools like hypnosis or something like a spiritual law exercise, like the mirror exercise. Those are potent. Those work. Just like steel is made from something in nature, that belongs to nature, that belongs to the earth, that belongs to source. So there is something that the tools can work anyway, and it is the power of the resonance field created between the individuals, the coach or healer, and the individual that allows the person to be able to do even more than that person, the coach or the, you know, person in the authority. Mm. So you're not really limited to it, but if you're definitely limited to your intentions, to the intentions of the coach or the healer. And if the intention of the coach or healer is that you have a great healing, then that's kind of unlimited, right? But if your intentions of the coach or healer is they'll pay me money and they'll listen to what I say and they'll stroke my ego, then there's where our limitation comes in, I think.
You hit the nail on the head, Trisha. There's a limitation, exactly. Stroking his ego. Mm-hmm. That's all he wanted. And the minute you kind of try to hinder that, of course, you had Megan Shalaya kind of then by his side attacking you. Mm-hmm. So you can't win. You're going to constantly lose because you've got all of them against you. And you have this audience on the Zooms that they have these daily, weekly, inundated Zoom conferences. So you're constantly drinking the Kool-Aid, looking for answers, seeking solutions, which aren't there. That's why you keep coming back for more because there is no resolution.
And in these daily meetings, people would come vulnerable and they would, I mean, if you watch this, they would be berated. They would be emotionally abused.
Completely belittled.
Belittled and humiliated. So this is, all of this, as we know, we three, I mean, this is actually creating a state of fight flight. And when you have an emotional experience, a strong emotional experience, you are in hypnosis. Not the kind of positive hypnosis that helps us to make transformation.
Right.
Would you, one of you like to explain that, that that is also a kind of hypnosis, to be in that fight flight or that that emotional charge?
Yeah. Anytime we're getting overloaded or sent into fight flight, we escape and suddenly we take everything in as absolute truth. We only run old patterns and we are much more susceptible to cult leaders or Jeff. But
poor Jeff's.
When someone comes in already in fight or flight, which so many of our clients will, and so many of these people were coming in like that already. You know, they've they've experienced heartbreak. They can't figure out why this is working. It's nerve-wracking being in a meeting for the first time. You are already seeing these people as authority. And our job would be to take them out and then bring them lower, but he just gets right in there and starts, I mean, manipulating for...
And the reason I laugh, because it's so primitive, which is so sad.
Yeah.
Because we understand, we have the knowledge and we have the understanding what's going on. They don't, which, and he completely takes advantage of that. That's why this is so cruel.
Yes.
And that's why this documentary was so phenomenal. That's why so many more people need to see it, to really get a deep understanding of how it's used against you instead of for you. As hypnotherapists, our goal is to empower, to desensitize the negativity and empower the positive. But that's what we're doing. We're speaking that message right now. Most people don't see that. They just kind of see a person, you know, being a chicken on a stage. That's not meant to be that way.
Yeah.
That's not our goal. Our goal is to empower people to, you know, bring the true consciousness out of them, Tricia. The real authentic, their authentic being of who they are.
And exactly, Carson mentioned, you know, our job, we take them out of that fight flight state, and then we take them back in with intention even deeper into hypnosis, into that positive state. And then that's how we're actually to be able to have a positive effect on the subconscious mind. In this case, what was happening here, these people come with in a vulnerable state in fight flight already. They come with desperately seeking answers. And this person, Jeff, is actually exhibiting also, he's exhibiting classic narcissistic traits. He is creating narratives. He is, you know, just not apologizing. That's what Carson said. Anytime he doesn't take any responsibility. I mean, there are so many red flags all over the place, and these people are so vulnerable and they just keep being broken down. Their character keeps being broken down, which I think that sometimes people look at that, or they look at the person at the stage hypnosis thing and the person's quacking like a chicken and they're like, well, that could never happen to me. Only some people can be hypnotized. But in fact, and we all are hypnotized every single day. And if we're in a, if any time that, that we're in a state where we're worried for our life, when our life is not literally threatened or even just worried that we're not going to be able to pay the rent or something like that, we actually are feeling like we're dying. That's just, that'll prove to us that anyone can be convinced or lulled into something like this, unless we keep our wits about us. Recognize red flags. How does it feel in your body? How does it feel in your body? And those are really important. So some of the red flags, again, this guy, Jeff, talking about how, oh, they did, they actually did use age regression to hypnosis in this, which is something that I know a lot of people don't recognize. That that's a no-no, right, Kevin? That's a no-no.
And we will be right back.
Hello, Charmed Life listener. It's Tricia, and I am making a special invitation for you to Sacred Sphere. This is a bi-monthly communal learning, practice, and resonance space. It is your community for intuition, manifestation, and spiritual development. It's happening twice per month, and there are special benefits if you subscribe so that you can go to every one of these or see the replays. It is a place for your deep, immersive healing and your powerful manifestation practice to unfold in your life. I'm so excited about this. The vision for this is large and wonderful. We're going to be changing our own lives, and I believe we're going to be changing the world. So check it out. The link is in the description. We can't wait to work with you, to see you, to love you there. Empowered Empath. This is a program designed for the sensitive soul, for the person with that empathic nature. And by the way, that is a healing ability. However, this is a healing ability that you can't turn off. You cannot turn off your empathic nature because it's more than just a psychic or healing ability. It is also how you are designed. So the Empowered Empath is a powerful program that is also gentle, consists of 4 modules with 8 life-altering lessons, 4 aura tuning meditations, and we have bonus group healing and coaching sessions that are coming up really soon. You definitely want to check the show notes so you can see when those are coming up. You have access to it for a whole year. You'll be able to continue to water the garden of your empathic nature. You'll learn how to feel centered and peaceful as a sensitive person, how to use your gifts as a superpower that they are meant to be, and you'll be receiving attunement and healing and new life strategies to live in the power and purpose of your sensitive nature. It's especially tailored for those who want to turn their empathic and sensory overwhelm into intuitive strength. It is immersive, yet very gentle program, and it's suitable for all levels of development. And I especially recommend it for those whose human design body graph reveals that they have an undefined emotional solar plexus. So if you are just ready to turn that sensitive sponging into the thing that we really need right now, we need your sensitive genius shining on this planet to be in the high frequency, high functioning of your sensitive superpower. So join Empowered Empath. You have access to the lessons starting right away. Oh, by the way, it's very affordable and even comes with payment plans. Only $177 for all of this content, and you can make a payment plan of 3 months or 6 months. I made it extremely affordable and accessible because I know what it's like to need the help. So if it's your first time of really healing your empathic nature, or you need to do it another time, this is the program for you. I can't wait to see you there. And now back to the show.
I would say it's forbidden because, Trisha, the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between reality and fantasy.
Yeah.
So when you start playing those games, it's going to pick up in your present-day DNA somewhere, maybe from a book you were read to as a child or a story you were told or a movie you watched. So there's so much data there that it's going to tap into that really isn't real. Mm-hmm. But your subconscious doesn't know that. Your consciousness does.
Yes. Your whole consciousness, yeah.
Absolutely. So to me, it's forbidden. Again, that's why they're so suggestible. They come to him desperate. Then they come to Twin Flames desperate. Then he uses that against them for manipulation instead of for empowerment.
Yes.
And they're going to be open to his suggestions of if he's like, well, did something happen when you were young with your father?
Oh,
and you're like, you want to please? You think that they have the answer, which is the big thing, like, being vulnerable and needing someone to have the solution. He's like, I have the solution. This is what's going on. Then they're like, yeah, that is what happened. I won't talk to my family anymore.
So memories are not facts. This is well known and well established in all forms of psychology. And of course, in the hypnotherapeutic models that we use, memories aren't facts. They are important to us, but they are not facts. Every time we source a memory, we color it. We're going through lenses of what the now is. And then, of course, in a scenario where someone is inducing you into a hypnotic state and then leading you, as Carson said, now this happens, honestly, this happens in interrogation rooms there's so many people who have gone to jail. Exactly. Where people have been coerced into false confessions. I'm just going to say this because it's very clear. And I know some people really love this person. Teal Swan does this. If you watch the documentary series on Hulu, The Deep End, is that what it's called?
It's so clear. And you watch it, and you're like, that's exactly what she's doing.
Yep. They use age regression to implant false memories so that they can rescue them from that. So I like that we brought this up because age regression is not a therapeutic tool. Now, if you've lost your wedding ring in your home, you can have a hypnotherapist help you to go back to yesterday. That's different. We're talking about age regression into something, especially with the intention to find something bad that happened to you.
Yep, going back to a traumatic event. Also, no.
huge red flag. That's one red flag. So they implanted negative suggestions about childhood sexual abuse. I got to tell you, these cults, they don't even have brand new ideas. They use this age regression and implanting suggestions of childhood sexual abuse to separate them from their family, because that's one marker of a high pressure group is separating them from family and friends to isolate them.
I think NXIVM did it too.
Yes, NXIVM did it. Pretty much all of them, they do some form that will definitely separate you from your family and your friends. Mm-hmm. And it's important to understand, you know, they use a lot of meditation, which is hypnosis, and that this is, that doesn't mean that meditation, hypnosis, or someone guiding you in it. If these tools can have you do something that dramatic, then what, when they are actually put into the right frame, when they're used with the best intention?
Now, I could only imagine how powerful that would be. Absolutely, yeah.
If they had any, I mean, they have no integrity. They also have no training. That's another problem. Now,
right.
Speaking of
a book. There's a book that he philosophizes.
I thought he didn't even read a book.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I don't. Yeah.
If he knew the truth, the inside would come out. It's right. Not though.
Right. Yeah.
Just like the animated movie about the emotions, Inside Out.
Yeah, I love that film.
Yeah. You know, we're adults seeing the world through children's eyes, because mm-hmm. we still are living in those emotional trials and tribulations as children from the age of 0 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people today sadly are living, even though they're adults, they're seeing life through their eyes as children.
Mm-hmm. Right. Especially we're in that fight flight state. You know, we regress to that. And then we're looking for authority. We're looking for a savior. Yes. And another red flag here is they were working out of scope, which is something we understand. We are trained to work in scope, meaning that if someone has a mental or medical issue, that we don't work with them unless or until we have we're actually working on the team with their psychologist, psychiatrist, or medical doctor. We don't just get in there and someone says, someone comes in and they seem to understand, they have PTSD, they have depression, they have some other kind of medical issue, and we just start working on it. They were doing this. They were also working out of scope in the sense that they weren't trained and they were all doing therapy. They're not therapists of any kind, and they were all doing therapy. So that's, once again, someone doing surgery who's not a trained surgeon.
You would never do that.
Right. And just as dangerous. Another thing that I would, this is a little beyond hypnosis, they always talked, Shalia and Jeff, they were talking about how they channeled something. They're like, oh, we channeled that these two people will be twin flames. We channeled that last night, but they didn't demonstrate themselves channeling. So this is in the spiritual metaphysical realm. I've seen Carson channel. Carson sees me channel. You can feel it. When you witness the channeling, you can feel it. And but if I just go and say, I channeled this, that means it has authority.
Ah, no, that's true. I didn't see any evidence. That's very true. I didn't pick up on that, Trisha, but that's true. There was no evidence in the documentary of any proof that they had. Just hearsay.
They just said it. Yeah. Just said, but they use this word because it's supposed to invoke like a godlike authority. But if you're not even witnessing it, it just means that they're saying something. You know what I mean? Like they're just made something up, right?
That reminds me, I won't bring up the spiritual teacher, but you're like, she always just talks about after the channeling session, and I never get to feel into that. And you can. It's this energy, and you feel these chills, and you just get this heart opening, and you're just like, whew, that came from somewhere else, versus, hey, this is what I channeled earlier.
Right. I'm like, even if it were written, well, you know, I channel poetry. I mean, it feels very different, poetry. Right? When you read it.
Oh, yeah, my God. It's my favorite thing that Trisha does. And it's just like, it's like the fairy one. It's like someone's going like this to you. And it's just like all right here. It's going. When you just read it, you don't even have to hear her saying it.
Yeah, exactly. So when you read some, thank you, by the way, that's very sweet. But when you read something that someone has written, you can, that's another way you could feel that, oh, this is inspired, is another way to say that something is channeled. But if someone just shows up to a meeting and says, I channeled last night from Saint Germain or Jesus that you need to get surgery and marry this other person that you're not attracted to at all. That's just that guy saying it.
Yeah. And come to think about it, even if I am being like, oh, this is what I heard the other day, suddenly I'm in that energy. And I'll just, even if it's just a sentence, and I'm like, you can feel it in just the sentence of me repeating it.
The there's a sincerity there. Mm-hmm. What they've done is they've taken everything sacred and just pawned it. Yeah. That's what they've done.
Mm. I love that.
You know, this life is so sacred. And what they've gone ahead and they've just completely just pawned all the sacredness, all the sacred things in life to their benefit, which is so sad. Instead of to the client, when we have clients, and I'm in sessions, that moment in my time, that client is the most important person in my life.
Yes.
Because the 55 or the 90 minute sessions I have with them is for their transformation, not for mine. The benefit of seeing them transform, yes, of course, is a reward for me, but that's because I'm skilled, we're advanced in our craft, mm-hmm. but we take it very serious. This isn't a fun and games. So, yeah, very interesting.
And so how Kevin just presented that right there, that's kind of like channeling, because I was in a session with Kevin. I felt how much he means the transformation is for them. And if I call up this documentary and these people who have bad intentions, the stark contrast, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can feel the heart versus just this. The energy is coming from here. Just mm-hmm. feels very manipulative.
Yes,
and not open. It's like, I would love to look at his human design, but we...
I know, we don't have his... Well, maybe it's out there. We can check. Maybe we'll mention it next time. So another thing that happened in this Twin Flame High Pressure Group cult, the Twin Flame Universe documentary series, just to remind everyone what we're talking about, which is on Netflix. Here, I'll pop this up in the screen and again.
There's a second one on Amazon, although we are focusing on the Netflix one. But if
Second one, just if you want more. Yeah. Another thing that they did, which is one of the classics for these really dangerous high pressure groups, is control their physical body. And the Jeff of the Twin Flame Universe guy, he compelled them to eat a certain kind of diet. He pressured them. In fact, he sold them the food and compelled them to eat it. So he was also making money off of what he was compelling them to eat. And he told them that they had to do this in order for them to, you know, have this goal of meeting their twin flame and blah, blah, blah. And what's interesting about this, and this has happened in many other cults where they begin to control the body. And in, like, for example, in the Nexium, which was the Keith Raniere high pressure group cult. And Keith Raniere is in Beneath the Skin or Under the Skin is the name of the documentary series on that one. And he actually started to compel the women of his followers to eat a lot less. They were eating like sometimes 80 calories a day or something, so that they would get really, really, really small. They would lose a lot of weight. Jeff, for whatever reason, in this, it's still just the same technique of controlling the body. He had everyone gain weight. So one of the members, she's in the documentary, and she put on like 70 pounds. It was wild. And what's interesting about this too that I noticed is that as he was having these people put on weight and eat a certain way and everything, they started to look more like Shalia, his wife, which is really fascinating to me.
It's this, I mean, it's not nice that this is happening, but if you are interested in this kind of thing, it's interesting that in this day and age, we now have everything recorded. And so Mother God, I was thinking about, you get to see their physical transformation as she's having them eat less and less, because that's what she channeled. And we'll talk about that when we talk about that. But you get to witness it. And same with this, everything's recorded because it's online and they're streaming everything.
Mother God, by the way, just to contextualize it, she's referring to another documentary series about another cult, and it's called the Mother God or Love Has One cult. Sorry, go ahead, Carson. I just want to make sure they knew what you're talking about.
But we get to witness it. So it's not just even something that we've read. We can see it in these people, the change that happens in not a healthy way.
Yeah.
If they have you buying their programs, listen to their content consistently, and going on their Zooms, so now they verbally are manipulating you, mentally manipulating you, and then physically, I mean, they've got you.
And separating you from your friends and family, telling you that the friends and family, that they don't understand you, only we do, you know.
Come live in my basement. Yeah.
Love, and that always starts with love bombing too. You're special. You, in this case, you have a twin flame. Other people don't have that experience. You're special. So there's love bombing, which is a
typical narcissistic trait, correct?
Exactly. Yes. That's how narcissists tend to draw in their feed, mm-hmm. their food. Mm-hmm. And then, and then therefore that's how they say no one else understands you. And you probably can think of so many different cult-like. Yes, exactly. And they actually had the same response to suicide that they did the same thing that Teal Swan did. I'm going to say it again because Teal was kind of callous. There's a there's at least one story of her being really callous about the fact that someone committed suicide. Well, if you want to do that, then that's your choice.
And we should do that documentary.
We should, yeah. It's really good. Yeah, we'll do that one. We'll do Mother God. We'll do Nexium. We're going to have fun.
This is going to be a blast.
Oh, you know what is another one that's really great? It's called Holy Hell. Holy Hell.
Oh, I know someone who was in that. I've told you
that. No. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Kevin, I'm going to find it. I think it's on Amazon. You'll love this one, too, because the cool thing about it is as a piece of artwork, as a documentary, it was from the 80s that this happened, and mm-hmm. one of their big members was a filmmaker, and so he filmed everything. They have all of this really beautiful footage. They all look like Doublemint commercials from the 80s, like all of this footage.
Wow.
And it's so fascinating.
You know, we're all so unique in our own wonderful way that to strip somebody of that is that's very disrespectful. That's very unhealthy, which is so sad.
Of
instead of us being able to go on a become, you know, on a self-discovery journey and self-mastery, mm-hmm. it's kind of like almost reverse psychology is what they're doing, which is so sad.
Yeah.
You know, I've never spent a day in anybody else's shoes but my own. So how dare I have my opinion on how I think you should be now? I'd rather go with you on a journey of self-discovery than, you know, complete reverse psychology and now I own you. And, you know, it's become more transactional than about empowerment.
Mm. Yes.
How can I upsell you? Now you use my food. Now you use my course. Now you use my, come live with me in my basement. I mean,
literally a part in the Netflix documentary where he's like, oh, churches don't have to pay this tax or whatever. And he's like, okay, now, well, let's make this more religious. And you get to see that transition about what they talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Even when the cops came to talk with him, he said exactly. He said, "I'm not doing anything wrong," because he was right. The system protects what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is doing wrong. That's a fact. The system is protecting, which is sad, because he's using that, you know, he's using that for him instead of against him.
Yeah,
he's found that loophole.
But you get to see how he devises how to exploit and manipulate something by saying, "Oh, well, then let's be a church." Yeah, it was really
And then he's like, and "Now I have to be kind of almost completely different, but that's fine."
Right, and honestly, I'm not into the wrong of what we do, the how our craft is being used against people, but unfortunately, I have to pay attention because it's a fact.
Mm.
In all these documentaries from, you know, Mother God and from Twin Flames, I have to start paying attention now because there are those forces out there that are using it in a negative way instead of a positive way, which mm-hmm. is so sad. And that's why we're having this discussion, because it needs to also be revealed the truth.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, and how it can be really positive mm-hmm. and safe.
Right.
And so mm-hmm. and we're safe, able to exactly. tell our clients when they come in, this is how it's different. But for everyone out there, like, hypnotherapy is magical.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. And that's why we have conscious times, because we're so passionate about what we see, the difference it makes.
Yes.
And I can't, you know, when clients come to you, they're suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And after one session, you've desensitized it. To me, that's shocking. That to me is to get rid of that curse, that such a strong desire, and it's gone all of a sudden. I understand what I did. I don't understand how that worked in them subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
I've got so much evidence and proof of how powerful hypnotherapy is that I don't understand why it's not so more prevalent in therapy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and why it isn't used more, and why we have to fight for our rights to make it so much more of a practice. You know, we're like the underdogs. Well, how can that be? Yet we've seen such dramatic proof and evidence that it works from mm-hmm. our clients.
Yeah,
you know.
And I want to point out that so interesting, Kevin, when you said empowerment, and you said it's basically what they're doing is the antithesis of healing. They're harming. You know what I mean? So it's not empowerment. It's me power. Right. It's me powerment. Right. To just switch the M and the E.
Me. Oh my gosh, Carson. Me powerment. Exactly. That's the new word. Me power. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what this, you know, like cult leaders are doing. They're me powering. Right. They're not empowering. So the distinction here too is, again, this is why I like to point out, listen, meditation is hypnosis. So likewise, if you go to someone who is a self-ordained meditation teacher, just like, you know, do a little gut check though, because they are hypnotizing you. If you're listening to a recorded track that is someone who guided a meditation, they are hypnotizing you, which may be perfectly fine. I'm definitely not saying like, oh, it's something to be really worried about. I'm just putting us into some clarity here. We are hypnotized all the time, and hypnosis, if you self-hypnotize or you meditate, great. Those are great, but just understand that hypnosis is a powerful tool, and recognize when it is happening to you.
Like, let's say on Insight Timer, there's lots of guided meditations, and I don't even think they let you use the word hypnosis, right? Even though that's what it is.
They do, but they think, there are hypnosis audios on Insight Timer, but they make you make a big warning because hypnosis is so different than meditation. Okay. It's so silly.
So silly. Mm. But I will often listen to the voice. I will kind of like feel into it. I might skip ahead and be like, is this what I want to hear? Is this what I'm like wanting to work on? Because I'll pick maybe a subject, like let's say manifestation or whatever. And it might, I won't go under, I'll listen to it. Like I'll skip forward and be like, no, I'm not really feeling this. Or yeah, this feels in alignment with me.
Exactly. Your personal,
it's all your programming, right? It's all your programming. Whether you're watching TV and getting programmed or going to a therapist and getting programmed, it's all about your programming. So choose it wisely.
Yeah. Choose what you ingest.
We have one of our colleagues here. This is actually it's Rocky. She identified herself earlier. And Rocky says, yes, indeed, hypnotherapy is powerful. Also, I saw two of my clients going from being suicidal to wanting to live again and feeling empowered. Thank you, Rocky. Thanks for being here.
Nice. Amazing. Yeah. Nice. Wow.
So the red flag on top of the sundae of this documentary, the cherry on top, the red flag on top, is when Jeff and Shalia said that Jeff is actually Jesus. Again, classic, right? Classic.
That's when you should, well, no, not should. That's when I would be like, wait.
And Trisha, can I share the clip?
Thank
can
you. The clip? Yes, we're going to share a clip of that. Go ahead.
Just preparing myself for his energy.
Heard, like, God speak to me in like a very like clear as day voice, like the images of Jesus is the image of Jeff. That's the prophecy you've been looking for. It is not written. It is in visual format. And I'm like, oh my God.
I pulled up a recent image of myself and put it next to that image of, you know, the supposed Jesus. And it's the same person.
Oh my God.
Those images were images of me. Not a Jewish guy from Israel, but a Euro guy with blue eyes and brown hair. The image of, you know, the Christ was actually me, the second coming, not Jesus, the first coming.
I'm banging the Christ.
Oh! Yeah, I mean, so again, this is what I love. They are hot. Okay, where do we go?
I'm actually irked. I'm really, that was eerie. So, that little clip there alone just completely turned me off. I'm not impressed at all. I'm not impressed.
I'm not impressed.
But before you were.
Yeah, exactly. Up to this point, Kevin was like, where are they now? Because I want to be right. I want to be a twin flamer.
They're always something new and something special. So they never know who they don't even know who they are, you know?
But can I just point out that they are, okay, it's offensive already.
He wasn't
pretty
Jewish.
Well regarded.
He was white.
Right. No. But it's deeply offensive that white European people have been representing Jesus, who was, yes, an Israeli, probably with a pretty dark tone, really dark skin, definitely brown eyes, and for these centuries have been making this artwork and imagery, because they're European, into white looking European guys. That's offensive. Then they decided to double down on the offense and said, oh, because they just didn't know they were worshiping me yet.
No, yeah.
Ew.
They have no idea.
So delicious.
When you watch the documentary, they show you clips of him as a child. He was very immature.
Mm-hmm.
So he acts very childish, even as a teenager. So, and I say that with confidence because, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. That's how life works. Not skin color, tone, nationality, culture. I'm born in South Africa. I'm American now. I'm an American citizen, and I'm very proud of that. But I do know where I came from. However, that doesn't chart my behavior today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm very Americanized. What I'm trying to say is that when you look at his those videos of him acting the way he was, that's transitioned to adulthood. That hasn't changed. He's still got the same behaviors.
He's in an arrested development stage, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. There's no awareness. He has no awareness of his behavior because it's habitual. He keeps repeating the cycles.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Abusers are often victims. That's true. Mm. You know, that's often the case. So maybe that's why he has this arrested development, because he's stuck at some place where there was trauma. I don't know. Who knows? I'm just supposing. It's not mentioned in the documentary or by him or anything like that. So, yeah, I think...
Only with her. Her dad left and came to America. She's Canadian.
Mm.
Only with her. So there's some issues there, of course, and that's why Jeff coming into her life is this dominant man has replaced that missing gap in her life.
Yeah.
Because I think when Megan or Shelia was like six or something to that effect, he left and came back to America.
Mm.
So it's sad on her behalf that she missed that daddy.
Yeah.
And so now he's replaced that. And so there's that her awareness of him now, because he has replaced that missing gap in her life.
Well, so I hope we have covered some good topics here on the different red flags. We talked about some narcissism. We talked about many different markers of how something as powerful as hypnosis can be used as a weapon, because it is that powerful. Mm. It really is like psychic surgery is what we're doing. So yeah, think about it. Who do you want working on your psyche and helping you with your psyche? But it is that powerful. So I think this has been really a great discussion, and we want to talk about Taylor Swift now, right?
Yeah. I wore my cat eyes just for her, because ever since I watched her documentary, I was like, I want cat eyes every day.
Mm-hmm. You look great with cat eyes. I mean, you look great anyway. So we want to talk about her human design. So let me pull up her chart. Carson, what? Get started while I'm trying to desk.
Okay. We are pulling up her body graph, which you'll see in the chart. And why I'm really excited about talking about this with Trisha is because together we have a lot of the aspects of Taylor Swift. So I'm a projector. She is a projector. She's a 5-1 profile, which is what Trisha is. And Trisha has an open head and ajna, which she does. And then from the neck down, we are the same. And she only has three channels, and two of them are the same with me. So I feel, I don't know why I'm
have
not
a
bajillionaire yet, but maybe it's a lack of the flat 5-line.
So Carson and I, just in case everyone who's listening or watching, human design is a model that it was actually channel, he doesn't use the word channel, but it was channeled or was brought through to us in 1986 by a man who was named Ra Uruhu. And it is a synthesis of four ancient observational modalities and a modern science. So it is a synthesis of astrology, chakra system, the I Ching, the Kabbalah tree of life, and quantum physics. So it's a powerful, powerful tool. If you have had any kind of resonance with astrology, I mean, in my experience, human design is like on point times at least 5 or maybe 3 trillion, because That's the how many neutrinos we are passing through our bodies every second, about 3 trillion. And that's what human design helps us to understand. It really is honestly like a user manual for your being. Like you have a computer manual here. This is the default of your systems. You have these kinds of applications. You have this kind of software. And you have this kind of hardware, right? Carson, is that a pretty good way to explain it as an overview?
Yep. I love the operating system analogy. It's the best way to explain it.
So we were looking at Taylor's. Now, one thing that I noticed about Taylor is she's often accused of being a humble bragger. You know what I mean? Like someone who's like saying, oh my gosh, I'm so rich. Oh, how funny. Or like talking about that. That's just the word that people use about it. I know we talked about a little bit what I'm talking about mm-hmm. with Taylor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she has these really interesting qualities that you can see in her chart that would honestly help me to understand why she's accused of false modesty or humble bragging. And one of the aspects is, I would say, the interplay between her defined will and her open solar plexus, plus her 5-1 profile. So this little triangle right here is the will. It's also called the ego center or the heart center, but and when this is defined, a person has a strong sense of their ego. And of course, this doesn't mean arrogance, but to someone who it doesn't really understand, you know, it might feel strong to someone, mm-hmm. but in its right function, it's supposed to be like, you know, just healthy ego. You have a defined will center, Carson. What do you have to say about how that feels? And I think your husband is undefined, right?
Yeah. She mm-hmm. was like in yoga last night. I thought this was so interesting. She's like, now you're still, and this might be the part that you tend to, get down on yourself during your practice. And I was like, actually, I'm like, you're doing so much better than you did last week. Like I'm just talking to myself being like, you've got this. And it doesn't mean that like you are egotistical, but mm-hmm. you know, when you have something, you know, when you can do something, mm-hmm. what she does have, which is really great for you, have this ability to empower others with your experience, with your viewpoint. You bring things mm-hmm. into reality and you know that about yourself. You can feel it. And so mm-hmm. it'll feel off when she's like, wait, what? Wait, you're all here for me?
Yes. Very good point. And now see, this is why I say, because she has the open emotional center, which makes her the classic empath, which Carson has as well. So I wonder if the times that she's been on, you know, after a performance, this has happened a few times and she's like, oh my God, that's amazing. I'm so really, you know, so I wonder if she's kind of empathically feeling into the audience and feels how some people are, I don't know, maybe insecure or whatever. And so she feels like she needs to downgrade herself, but she has a strong sense of ego. So mm-hmm. it comes off as false modesty, right? It
might be that wanting to balance things. Cause I get too, that I'm like, oh, but I can feel that they think that I'm a little egotistical, or I can feel this over here, or I feel like they don't feel like they're big enough. And so I want to
make smaller.
We always think it's about mm-hmm. us. If we change it, then they won't be hurt.
Yeah,
they will not be smaller if we make ourselves smaller. There's this constant balancing of energy that tends to happen with that open emotional solar plexus. So I think you're spot on.
And so, it's like sweet in a way, but it's still misguided. It's not landing correctly. And then that final piece that I was saying is she has a 5-1 profile. So the 5 line is this projection field, as we call it. So that means that she has this large projection field around Carson. Yes. There's a medium compared to Taylor's around Taylor. Taylor has, so what a projection field is, it's basically when people see her, they see what they want to see, or they're projecting something onto her about themselves. And the 5 line tends to elicit either a savior complex, meaning people like think you're the best and you're perfect and you're a savior, and it's just like not totally human. Or if what they say, the projection field can flip, and then they're like, you've let us down, you're terrible, you've ruined everything, you know, the like, demon. And so like, that's happening to Taylor sometimes, probably.
Chris calls her the marmite of celebrities. You either love it or you hate it. Not so many people are neutral. I was kind of neutral about her. I like her more that I've watched the documentary. But it is that 5-1. Mm-hmm. And she also, that defined will, people will put expectations on too, because they can mm-hmm. kind of feel it.
Yeah. And that's right. The five line has it receives a lot of expectations. And so those expectations that someone else is feeling about how she should behave or act. And by the way, by all accounts, she's a wonderful person because she does a lot of charity. She pays really well. I heard that last year, because she made so many billions of dollars, she gave everyone on her team, all the way down to the people who drive but the example of the people who drive her trucks for her equipment, she gave like the drivers of her trucks $100,000 bonus. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to her. You know what I mean? Like for how much money she makes.
Life changing.
Like changing their lives.
Absolutely.
They can buy homes now, you know? So, and she does a lot of animal rescue work and, you know, and I really do love her music of the last like 5 to 7 years. I think it's fantastic. And she has a great, you know, she's just matured a lot as an artist. That aside, I just thought it would be really interesting to look at all of this openness as well as the areas of definition, plus that profile, which is probably the reason why she's sometimes called falsely modest or a humble bragger. Any last thoughts on that, Carson?
I mean, last thoughts are so many. But it's true. I was listening to a daily episode, and it is, people are just like these diehard fans, or they just don't get it. And it is that projection field. She can't be seen, which is so interesting as a projector. And she talks a lot in her documentary about how she just wanted to be seen as a good person and how she that mattered so much to her. But she had to go through this transformation. I don't know if she's gotten a human design reading, but it would have been helpful for her to be like, oh, I can't take this personally. They can't actually see me as much as I want to be seen. There's this projection field there. But she's got all of this openness being a projector that allows her. There's this quote in her documentary that's like, people feel like they grew up with me. People feel like, and I've listened to these quotes from people, that they're like, it feels like she's telling my story. Mm-hmm. And that comes from being a projector, I think, that ability to see inside someone, that open throat, our ability to speak for other people, amplify other people's communication. She's got this beautiful marketing channel that allows her to be like a spiritual salesman, like the higher evolution of what is in there. She's got the struggle channel. So she likes to share her experiences of what she's gone through. So people will feel that and feel connected to her. And so of course you're going to get these diehard fans, because people say when you meet her, and that's the projector in her, they feel like they know they're being seen deeply for the first time. Like they feel like they're her best friend. And so you're going to have these diehard, like her fans are diehard. And it's getting bigger and bigger with that five. I mean, they say that a lot of five lines tend to be famous.
I was just thinking, a lot of famous people are five lines. I was just thinking this morning, like, I don't know how someone who doesn't have a five line can tolerate being famous, because it's like they have a projection field anyway. And, but it's not, you know, it's not, it's probably maybe somewhere there, it's coming on the five line somewhere else in their chart, but for it to not be like their dominant profile, I just can't imagine. Because it's hard enough having a five line to feel that pressure and that flipping of the projection field that happens. So, yeah. And Michelle Tyson says, human design is so interesting. I need to learn more. Yes, it is. And Carson is a brilliant human design guide. So Kevin, I know you're just starting to get, we've just been talking to you about human design a little bit. Did you have any questions or thoughts about what we're talking about, or just soaking it in?
No, I'm fascinated by it. I believe in it because it all makes sense. None of this is kind of off chart. You know, I can admit I went to go watch her documentary.
You want to go and watch?
No, I watched it. I was impressed. I was like, wow. I mean, because I'd heard all this talk. I didn't know who she was. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. So a friend of mine said, well, she actually invited me and my best friend to go watch a Taylor Swift documentary with her. So we went.
Oh, the concert.
And I was, the concert. And I was blown away. I was actually dancing. So in the theater, I'm dancing, because you just kind of, you go with the flow. It's very easy. You know, it's not combative. So
that is,
I was having a lot of fun. I was dancing.
To watch, because you really see her G-center, open G-center.
Yeah. It was impressive.
Yeah.
She goes through the eras. And It's like it's a total costume change and then a different costume change. And she's all these different people because she has that chameleon malleability, that plus the marketing, knowing what people want, plus sharing that part of her journey. But she has even quotes about how often women have to reinvent themselves. And there is an aspect of this, but I think that G-Center also wants to do that depending on where she is in her life.
Yeah. My friend went 4 times in a row to a concert the SoFi. I think it was 4 or 5. I mean, she went every single time. So fans like that, they're diehard. I mean, you know, Taylor's doing something good, something great.
Yeah. Amazing person, amazing human, and yeah, really amazing, interesting chart. I think I loved this discussion. Lacey says, Trisha, you keep mentioning a 5 line. Are you referring to her profile? Yes, 5'1". I'm a projector 5'3", so interested. Yes, she's a 5'1". That's her profile.
Mm-hmm. I want to say one more thing about her 5 line, which is being able to see her step into that. She lets go a little bit of this emotional solar plexus worrying about pleasing and steps more into the bullshit detector of 5 line when she starts to talk about politics and say what she, you know, stand up for people. And she really, you get to watch that transition in her music when she starts calling people out in her lyrics.
Her ex-boyfriends mostly.
Yeah. But like people all the time, Trisha will say something. I'll be like, oh, that was so 5 of you, because you like will not stand for people's bullshit. And you'll be like, I'm going to say something. Like, I'm like, I don't want to. You do that.
Carson, I know. And my husband's a 3-5, so he has the 5 line too. So when Carson goes, oh, that's so 5 line of you, I'm like, what part? Because to me, it's so, in my home, we're all, it's like almost every day. I come home to Brian, who comes home to me, and we're like, hey, you want to hear what this bullshit happened? And either we're like, that's bullshit.
It's so it's Carson. The heretic is what it's called in traditional that's right. women's line. But
and so it's just so normal to me that when Carson's like, that was so 5 line of you, I'm like, which part? It all felt normal. Anyway, well, this has been really fun, and I have to go. I want to go to the next concert with you, to Taylor Swift concert with Kevin, because I want to see him dance. All right, everyone.
I was having fun.
Yeah, we're having fun here on Conscious Time. So everyone, thank you so much for listening or watching. We're kicking off this brand new podcast. We've got some more research to do, again, some investigation, but we want to keep talking to you about this, talking about some other different things. But this, again, this podcast, Conscious Times, is intended, our intention here is this will be your place for energy updates, as well as, you know, your source, your resource for this consciousness age that we're in. That's where we are. We went from industrial age to information age. We are now in the consciousness age. And the best thing we can do is to have personal sovereignty and spiritual sovereignty, because that's where we are. That's just, otherwise we'll be vulnerable to our sovereignty being utilized by someone else, from someone wanting to turn empowerment into me-powerment for their benefit.
So good.
Well, this is Carson Doherty. Carson and Kevin, will you tell people how they can get in touch with you? And actually, if you want to put your websites in the chat right now, it will go on the live feed. And we will, and tell us the work that you're doing and how people can be in touch with you. Kevin is practicing as a hypnotherapist right now, for sure. Right. Tell us all about
and
it.
I'm literally about 2 months away from graduating as a clinical hypnotherapist. I'm excited about that. So I can go into that dimension of the field. I focus on peak performance. So my clients are doctors, artists, you know, and actors and writers, and then tennis players for sports and football players. So that's why I'm more focused on the empowerment aspect of them. They normally come to me looking to someone to double their income, double their sales projections and so forth. So my coaching background has allowed me now to use hypnotherapy then to go into, you know, I'm like a success coach for the subconscious mind. I'm able to then empower their mind. Some people want to be like Kobe Bryant. I'm like, okay, great. I'll create a life script of Kobe Bryant. I'll send it off to them. I say, is this who Kobe Bryant is in your eyes? Because it has to resonate with them.
Yeah.
And then when they come see me for their sessions, then I'll use those message units, that programming in their subconscious to make them, you know, be like Kobe Bryant if they want to. Hey, more power to you. If that's what you want, let's do it, you know. So and then I'll put my head, and then that's literally, I'm more on a peak performance basis, guys. So that's why I like you, Trish and Carson. You're a little more spiritual for me, but then again, that helps because I need to learn. You know, I'm all about self mastery. So
yes, self mastery, exactly. That's the same. Another way to say personal and spiritual sovereignty. Yeah, so I absolutely.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and Carson. And I'm going to put you, there's Carson, Kevin, put in the comments part there, put in your okay. website or something like that. No, yeah, go ahead, Carson.
Well, I combine hypnotherapy with human spiritual teaching and manifesting and all of the good stuff. It's just, for me, it's really about feeling like the most powerful version of yourself, the best version of yourself, just feeling better. I went on a journey of having some anxiety and depression, not like needing a ton of therapy or anything, but just feeling kind of like on edge, not understanding and being a little dissatisfied. And spirituality brought me into starting to feel better. And I've been working with Trisha for years. She's my mentor. So we have a lot of the same modalities because I learned from her. But then I went through a big autoinflammatory flare and hypnotherapy and human design is really what brought me out of that. And I was like, I need to add those into spiritual coaching. And I just like teaching people that life can be more magical and you can bring in ease. And that's my specialability.
I like it. I like
special
it.
Ability. Making up words all over the place today. As a projector is teaching people a little bit more about being and ease and self-care and magic. And yeah, that's what I like to
Wonderful.
Do.
Well, that's us, everyone. And if you don't know me, I'm Trisha Carr. And, you know, I'll make sure that the show notes are updated with all of our information. I'm a spiritual teacher. And, you know, this is on my YouTube channel right now. We will be starting a podcast feed for Conscious Times very soon. But for now, you can consider this your hub for it. And this, you might be listening to it on the Charmed Life podcast. And so we will see you very soon. Join the mailing list, join my mailing list, and like and click the bell and all of that kind of stuff so that you can keep on top of when we're going to do more of these. So this is Conscious Times, everyone. We will see you again next time. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Trisha. Thank you,
everyone. Thank you, Carson.
Cheers, everyone.